How much is Gul'dan going to cost when he comes out? Everything. This is Core.
Hello, everyone. That was a terrible joke. This is Core. I'm Scott Johnson. I'm joined with and by and near John Jagger and Bo Schwartz. And we're back. It's another episode of The Core, which I'm pretty excited about. All here to talk about what we thought today was just going to be the launch of Medivh, the once confused by the what we're calling now The Fell. And did a bad, bad thing, and now he's a good man again. He wants to fly around like a hawk or a crow, is it? Oh, yeah, a crow, and bring happiness to all the Nexus people. I don't know where I'm going with this, but it's not going anywhere good. So we'll just talk about it.
No, so far that's what he does. That's what he does. He made everybody very happy.
That's true. So that happened today. He's out, and you can buy him in a bundle or by himself for $10 or $14. Which is on sale, I noticed. That's a sale there. It's like $5 off or something. And get his weird owl head man skin, which makes him look like Taranda's brother or something. It's real weird. So there's that. And he's out. And I played with him a little bit in practice. He's fine. Didn't buy him yet. I told you guys last time I wasn't sure I was getting him. But forget about all that. F all that. We know that he's a known quantity. We're going to talk about him in a minute. We'll get impressions and all that stuff. That's fine. I'm more interested in the fact that his launch video, which is a full-blown video this time, I feel like they're getting back to those. Something's going on over there. They went Chromie, then this, and they're both doing it.
Whoa.
Whoops. Sorry. Yeah. Let me back that truck up. But he, at the end, we get a teaser from this guy. I got a little file of this, actually. Let me play this for you here. See if this name or this voice sounds familiar to anybody out there listening. Here it is right here.
I hope you will bring more than words to this battle, Guardian.
Wow. All right, that's not movie Gul'dan, but that's Gul'dan nonetheless. So confirmation, which I think we kind of already had from another source, that Gul'dan was being made for the game. Bo, thoughts, feelings? I'm pretty excited.
I'm on the heels of the Warcraft movie. Yeah. Easily my favorite part of the Warcraft movie was Gul'dan. Mm. Or Gul'dan. Mm. Dan. Gul'danny.
Don.
Gul'dong? No. That's not the name.
That's something.
Something entirely different.
All right. Super stoked. I've known Gul'dan for a long time for the World of Warcraft and playing it, but this movie's already sort of made me really excited for Gul'dan, so I'm super stoked that he's next in Heroes. Perfect.
And we don't know anything about him other than there's just this tease, and that's all there is. I mean, so give people a taste of some of the other stuff that comes in that video. Here's another little bit featuring the Guardian himself.
I sense an approaching evil that is all too familiar.
Okay, now what I like about what they're doing here is they're bringing in Medivh as if he is there to stop Gul'dan from entering the Nexus. That's kind of awesome in a bunch of ways. Do you think, John, they carry that all the way through and have Gul'dan be the next character, which seems kind of likely, and have him carry this weird little story on and have a little mini Warcraft movie going on in this thing where his video is all about, Guardian, I found you and all your friends are dead, brah, or whatever. What do you think?
Yeah, I kind of like to imagine that that's the world we live in, where, like, the Nexus sucked up Gul'dan, and he was like, oh, this place is great, I'm going to be evil here now. And Medivh was like, oh, I sense a presence I've not felt since. And then he turned into a raven and flew to the Nexus. And now they're going to have a fight. And it's going to be great. Gul'dan hype has never been at a higher level than right now. I think the Warcraft movie sold me on him in a way that the games have certainly tried, but maybe haven't quite hit. And so I feel like between where we're at in the lore in Warcraft and where we're at with the Warcraft movie, I am all about Gul'dan at the moment. And so him showing up, I couldn't be more excited about that.
He's the coolest thing, I think, in the movie in terms of there are very important moments in the movie where he features very heavily. I'll just say that for those who haven't seen it yet. And let's just say he's not just this withered old orc man who, you know, cowers in the corner with green eyes and tells everyone to drink Manoroth's blood all the time. There's more to that dude than you thought. And his bony back stuff is more, there's more to that than you thought. I assume all of that is going to be, you know, that's like canon moving forward as far as that guy, you know, his physicality is very interesting. Always has been to me, this sort of hunched over warlock like dude. As far as what he may be in the game, we have zero idea. Or do we have an idea from that leak, actually, Bo? Do we know what his role will be? Do we know support, damage, healer? He's not going to heal.
He's a warlock, right? Like that. If you had to give him a Warcraft class, it would be like a warlock. Mm-hmm. I would have to... Something along... So he's probably going to use life as a resource. That would be my guess, considering the way warlocks operate in Hearthstone. And in the game, life tap is a thing. I think he taps his life to do things.
Yeah.
That would be my guess. He could be a support, maybe? Can you make a case for a Gul'dan support,
Bo? Yeah, make an argument for support, Bo. How would you do it?
I don't think it fits the fantasy. I think it's dead. Like, he's a death guy.
He is not going
to... What if he's pulling health from others to heal his friends?
But listen, listen to the friends. In theory, there is a team comp that includes him and Medivh.
Yeah, and Gul'dan and friends.
Yeah, and so is he. I would watch that every Friday night. That'd be amazing sitcom, Gul'dan and Friends. But let's say he sucks the life from those around him and gives it back to his allies. It's going to have to be in a kind of passive way, kind of Lucio / Karazim sort of less targeted way. That I could maybe buy into, and that maybe fits the lore or the character type a little bit better if he is just constantly sucking the life from those around him, including minions, and having that kind of AoE around him. You think that works, Bo? That's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea, actually, because he would drain the life. He can drain the life from people, and he can buff other people.
Right.
Right? Like, try not to get into spoilery territory, but, like, he can imbue fell strength to other people. And I think this is in World of Warcraft that, you know, there's got to be something like that that warlocks can do, right? It isn't just death and destruction.
Yeah, it's tapping. Yeah. Not just tapping. What am I thinking of? What's the other word for what warlocks do? They tap the life from people. They do damage Siphon. Over time stuff. So dots are big. Mm-hmm. So
and give health stones.
Exactly. Oh, see?
Oh.
Actually,
resurrection stone, maybe.
As John talks. Gul'dan
will be a Pez dispenser.
Well, we prefer to think of it instead of Pez as Manoroth's blood, and instead of dispenser, he's like a slurm salesman.
Right. I like it. By the way, I would buy a Gul'dan Pez dispenser in a heartbeat. That would be amazing. How many Pez are left in you?
Everything.
So anyway, we're excited about this guy. So whatever they do, let's bring it on there, Blizzard. Let's get some Gul'dan all up in here. And do you think my prediction is right? Does anyone want to comment on this idea that he's the next guy?
Oh, he's for sure the next guy. But and here's a thought. So Medivh and Gul'dan come out together, not coincidental, considering, John, I know you've talked about before, those two kind of being center stage in the movie as characters. They're important characters, and they're important here in Heroes. Do you think there's a map on the tail end of this, like Burning Legion-y style or something? Like, do we get something? Like, Gul'dan might not just herald Gul'dan, but he might herald, I don't know, some Infernals or something along those lines. Like
a dark portal map, and whoever opens the portal unleashes the horde on the other enemy.
Oh, dude, shut up. That sounds amazing. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they need to do that, and this feels like a good opportunity, especially if they're gonna connect the two. I mean, right now we're not really even talking about how we think any of this is going to play, but just from a damn, that's cool perspective, we're definitely in like that time frame of it's been a long time since we've had a map. Actually, it's been a long time since we've had a map, a long time since we've had a support / healer of any sort. It's been since Morales, guys. That was a long freaking time ago. So those two things seem like a bit of a lock to me, and a great way to maybe bring in some kind of Warcraft event, even if it's not a full-blown you know, like the Diablo one they did, maybe something a little lower key than that, but still a chance to take it, you know, take it into some WoW space a little bit, even if it's just one map, and have some fun with that. I would love that.
One more idea, and I don't want to discuss it too much because it's, you know, we don't want to, if you haven't seen the Warcraft movie, we don't want to put that out there. But what if he's, because warlocks can empower things, like think of, what is it, power overwhelming? There's some power card in Hearthstone that's a warlock card, overwhelming power. Like, what if he's a warrior? Oh. What if he's a shambly little warlock and then uses fel magic to actually make himself into the Incredible Hulk? Does that work as if like a demonic ass kicking version of himself? Because he's an orc.
Yeah.
And he can throw a punch.
Yeah.
Although I still think I'm holding out for that ability for Deckard Cain.
Okay.
Like a Master Roshi, just looks like a withered old man, but then you get him mad, he just tears off his shirt and he's super buff and ripped.
I know we've talked a little bit about the idea of healers or support characters in the last little while. We've talked about who's coming or who would we want to see. I'm not convinced we've ever come up with a name that works that well. Like, there's no obvious ones left unless I'm just completely forgetting about somebody. I mean, there are multiple. They probably find some ancillary WoW character who used to heal the Kirin Tor on the weekends or some weird thing. But for the most part, I mean, what is it, like Anduin maybe? He's a priest.
Anduin would be a good choice.
Yeah. Who else?
No, he won't.
Wait, hold on now. You don't want Anduin in this game, do you?
I hate that little punk. He's just so good. Like, even as an Alliance player, I'm like, this is too much. He's too much of a good guy.
But now that you've seen Anduin Lothar, his namesake, in action...
Yeah,
who he was named after. That's a little more exciting, right? You've seen some, you got some legacy there and, you know, some cool stuff around that, no?
Yeah, he's too smarmy.
I don't know.
He's smarmy about everything.
Like, here's my experience of Anduin in World of Warcraft. Oh, cool, quest over here, quest over in this area. Oh, Anduin quest. Man, let's just get this over with as soon as possible. Yeah. Oh, sweet, I'm killing orcs again or whatever.
Well, that was mainly a problem in Pandaria where he'd just chase around and follow you, or he was young and kind of precocious or whatever. Now he's got like a bunch of hair and he's kind of growing into his own, and there, you know, some indications in Legion that his father is in some trouble, perhaps, might not be long for this world or the world of Azeroth. I don't know. I don't know for sure. He's in a spot of bother. You know, I don't know. I'm not saying anything for sure because I don't know anything for sure, but it's maybe his time to don the crown and be the dude.
You think he stays a priest, though? Because sometimes they do class changes when they get all, you know, Arthas became a Death Knight. Maybe, I don't know, he was a paladin before. So
that's true.
So maybe Anduin isn't the Paragon priest anymore. He's a Paragon shadow priest. Want a shadow priest in the game. I mean, that's
sneaks around stabbing people.
But if something happens to Varian and Anduin goes all Darth Vader on the Legion, maybe he becomes, you know, a darker version of what he already is. And he comes to Heroes as a shadow priest.
Well, bottom line is, come into the game here soon, we hope. And again, I hope it's tied to a bunch of other cool WoW stuff. It's a great time to do it. If not critics, definitely gamers enjoyed that movie. It's hot at the moment. There's no reason why this game wouldn't benefit from some, you know, some fun WoW-based promotion. So bring it on, is what I'd like to say. Oh, and I'll just say briefly, I quite enjoyed the Warcraft movie. I had 335 friends there with me. That was great. And that's a big part of why I think I loved it, but I really think I liked it anyway, independent of all of that. I'm not going to tell anyone... This isn't me going, oh my gosh, it's better than Fury Road, because Fury Road's the best thing made in the last 10 years, and I still believe that. it's not the best movie ever made. In fact, if I wasn't a Warcraft player or didn't care about these tropes and these characters and these kinds of movies, I probably would have cared less about this. But because I have that connection to this game, it made all the difference. I think it's great. I think it is what everyone always asks for, right? They want it to be true to the game, true to the vision of the game. They want somebody who plays it, is into it to do it. We got all of that top to bottom. Duncan Jones loves the game, loves the world. We actually got what we asked for, and to hear people complain about that kind of drives me crazy. But it's also not exactly what a mainstream audience asked for. So that's kind of my short take. I'll do a much longer review on the instance this week, but bottom line, I had a blast. John, you liked it. So did
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I really, really liked it.
Any dissenting opinions here, Bo? You liked it? Everyone liked it.
No, I liked it. But the one thing, if you still haven't seen it, that may convince you to go see it, is that the opening leading up to the title is basically a Blizzard cinematic. Like, that opening is as strong, even if you don't, I don't care if you appreciate what Blizzard does with its cinematics.
Yeah.
That opening, up until it says Warcraft on the screen, was worth it alone. It was incredible. So there's that sense of cinematic all through different parts of the film, despite its shortcomings, and it's worth it to watch it for that. It was really good.
I have two problems with it, and I've said this on another show. I'll say it again. The only two problems I have with the movie are the score is nothing special, and Russell Brower should have done it. He was having him be passed over like that was stupid. They should have absolutely had Russell Brower in that thing. It's a minor thing, but it's a big enough thing for me that I think that would have helped the movie a lot. Second thing I didn't like was they should have the Universal logo at the first part of the movie should have been Azeroth. It bugs me, even if it's just Eastern Kingdoms, man.
Yeah.
Have that thing rotate around. Don't have it be America and South America. We know what that is. Have it be like Waterworld, where the whole thing fills up water and covers up all the land. Or what's another good one? I think one of those earthquake ones where it kind of breaks in half or something. Like, they always do something cool. You got a chance there to do something. It's Azeroth, for heaven's sakes. And you just did the normal one. Lame.
Yeah, they missed out on that for sure. I was thinking they were going to do it, too. I was actually looking forward to it because I saw it and I thought, oh, I bet they do Azeroth. Oh, no, they didn't.
Yeah. Not at all. All right, let's talk about season one. Oh, actually, before we do that, can we just talk about the... I know there's a patch today, but I'm going to talk about one aspect of it.
Yeah.
I didn't know we were getting unranked draft today. That wasn't... I thought was not... I thought that was a ways off. Why did I think that? I think we've talked about it. Why was I under the impression? I went in there today and I went, unranked draft!
Well, it was a little bit of a surprise because originally they had said it was coming. And I think a lot of people assumed, because this was the first point where they confirmed it.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought, oh, it's going to be a ways off. And then it was only like a week or so ago that they actually said, no, it's coming in this patch. Yeah. In fact, it was when the PTR hit. So whenever that was when it was kind of confirmed. No, we're getting it at this time. We're getting it.
Yeah. Well, it's that's exciting. And I'm super jazzed to try it. I think we'll try it later tonight just to see how that goes. Have you guys dabbled in the unranked yet?
Nope, it came out today. I haven't had a chance to log in. Looking forward to doing that real soon.
I hopped in earlier and I could only be in for a minute to ensure everything was working and tried Medivh out in practice mode. I think I would really enjoy him, but I'm not. I'm holding to what I said last time. I'm either going to get him with gold or I'm going to wait and see what the community says about him, because I still haven't even hardly played Zul. He's just sitting there looking at me going, why won't you play me? I don't know why he's Sean Connery.
He does that.
All right, so here's what we know about Season 1 rewards, because some details have come out since we last spoke. The thing's going to last roughly 10 weeks. That's kind of what we thought before, though, right? Didn't we think 10 weeks? It was 8 to 10 or whatever it was at the time.
Yeah.
We're still cool with that. That's basically the run of an entire Game of Thrones season, if you think about it.
Sure.
10 episodes, you know. Speaking of which, that show's really good right now. you know what I was supposed to... I'm not allowed to do this.
Just to get that in there.
Sorry, I forgot to play that. The new portraits per division attained, bronze through Grandmaster, different ones from Hero League to Team League, so we know about that. There's a sliding scale of gold. Does anyone know how that works? How's the sliding scale work?
Well, gold. It's the same way as this one. Basically, the higher division you're in, the more gold you get.
All right.
So it looks like it's less, I think, than preseason. I didn't remind myself what they were. I think I got 3,500 gold for being ranked 5. And it looks like right now the gold actually caps out at 2,000 gold. However, seasons are only 10 weeks and preseason was like 2 years. So really, you know, it's probably...
It's not that big of a nerf.
No, yeah. It's not too bad. I logged in to see what rewards I had for the ending of, quote unquote, the last season. And congratulations, you've earned rank 38 or whatever it was in Team League, or in Hero League. And I finished at 42 in Team League. Both numbers just shy of what they need to be to get a damn mount. So F you, Elemental Mount, F you. Congratulations, John. You got yours, though. Well done.
I did. I got my wolf. I'm certainly happy about it, although speaking of the season one rewards, and I guess I'm going to just put it bluntly because that's what I'm good at. I hope they're not this lazy with future season rewards because this feels like a great big rehash of the preseason rewards. And if the next thing they put out is an Elemental Billy or, you know, some crap like that, I'm kind of not interested. I kind of want them to do something cooler with the rewards. And I know I've kind of told people I would really like loot boxes in some fashion to make their way to the game. But even in lieu of that, even if they just stick with this is the format, I hope they change it up in a way, because right now I don't think any of the portraits are particularly interesting looking, and I don't like the mounts. I don't think they're actually innovating in any way, shape, or form with the mounts, and it's kind of made it all feel real trivial to me.
I have a counter question for you, which is just, what if it's too good that you feel left out? Like, isn't it okay that it's kind of, well, you didn't get one this season, no biggie?
No, because it's the only reward in the game. If they want to come up with other ways to incentivize you to do things in the game, then I'm totally fine with this. But right now, and I've said it as one of my biggest complaints with the game right now, I feel like this game should have something in there for the person who's on their 8-game-in-a-row losing streak to feel incentivized to keep, you know, going and keep working beyond just, well, I just spent, you know, 4 hours getting my butt handed to me. I want to stick with this game. And until they come up with a way to do that, whether that is some sort of reward in the game or something else that they come up with, I think these are kind of lame rewards to hand out to people, honestly.
What if I told you that you could win an Elemental Lizard mount? Still nothing? No good?
Yeah, I don't think it looks good. I think it looks like they took the same skin from the wolf and put it on the lizard that they already kind of had in the game, and that's it.
Here's the thing. You can get it for getting bronze in Team League. They actually lowered the requirements in Team League for getting the base mount. Yeah. So that's
right,
kind of
nice. My concern isn't whether or not I'm going to be able to get it. Like, this is oddly enough not me being selfish for once. I know I'll probably be able to get the mount. My point is, I don't think the mount's a very cool reward. Like, I'll still go for it. I'll still get it. But it's probably going to just sit in there. And I really hope that when we get to season two, it's not, well, now you need the elemental horse. And now it's the horse with spikes, crystal spikes coming out of it. And I can totally see that happening.
How about elemental?
It just feels lazy to me.
How about elemental Cloud9 emblem? Now that Cloud9. Now that they've left.
I want that. Yeah. This begs a question. Blizzard Heroes very generously gave them we're kind of skipping ahead, but why is there a Cloud9 mount in there? They don't play Heroes of the Storm anymore.
I have a real feeling about this. I think it needs to be taken out of the game. If they're quitting the game, what are we doing? That shouldn't be in there.
Screw you guys. We don't want your advertising in our game if you're not even going to be invested in
it. It's super funky to me that's actually a risk Blizzard runs, I guess, of doing that, but I would really prefer it not be there right now. I'm not, you know, it's not like I have horrible feelings about it, but I'm like, well, okay, well, they're not playing. So what are we doing? This is like having an emblem for, you know, some Counter-Strike global operations team floating in there for no reason. There's no connection anymore. I mean, they won once, but, you know, nobody had to pay for that, right? Was that a thing you paid for? It was a thing you paid for.
Yeah,
gold, 5K gold.
Well, they ought to give 5K gold back to everyone who bought that thing. If they want to. I guess they can keep it if they want to, but that's a...
Just replace the picture. Just replace it. Put a picture of Billy the Kid, the Wonder Kid. It's a picture of the Wonder Billy. That's it.
Oh, yeah. One more goat. Let's get that goat one more time.
Yeah, another version of the goat. I will say Daniel J. Newman in the chat says they were the first world winners. That's why it's history of the game. And I do get his point. But I think the counter to that is that Cloud9 is not a group of people. Cloud9 is an esports organization that is continuing to fund and support and have teams for other video games. So by having the Cloud9 logo in the game, you may be paying homage to that history. But you're also saying, hey, check out this organization that wants nothing to do with our game, but plenty to do with others.
Yeah, it's like having...
And that's where it gets weird.
It's like us so we have the Utah Jazz. Oh, here's my metaphor, okay? So we have the Utah Jazz, NBA team. Not very good, mind you, but whatever. We've had our moments. When they left New Orleans, that was the thing that happened. Change of ownership, new venue, new city, a whole new place. All right? So now they're in Salt Lake City. They got nothing to do with New Orleans. This is a little bit like if New Orleans just kept selling, you know, had like some kind of shop downtown at the Coliseum that sold, you know, jazz uniforms or t-shirts and memorabilia to people. Like, that's weird. That's just freaking weird.
A little weird.
It's totally weird, especially when it's about one. Like, this isn't even about a lifelong relationship you might have with your local team. This is about a one-time championship that they won, rightly so. But now it's just weird. So I think we take this as a sign that you ought not do this sort of thing. I think maybe a cooler idea would have been an emblem that said, I don't know, 2015 championship winners. I don't know. I don't know what you do. Maybe we just don't need it. You know, they look like coasters anyway. Who gives a shit?
It's probably fine. It's in the grand scheme of things, it's fine. Right. But I do agree. I understand why people would say that it's a weird thing. It does seem weird. It's like if Coca-Cola had a little Nexus thing you could ride on.
Yeah.
Like,
that,
why?
That made me sound a lot more grumpy about it than I am. I'm not. I'm not really that grumpy. It seemed like I was. I just want to clear the air. I was just, I'm just spouting out of my bum.
They took out the Facebook like button, which I complained about on this show when we first started. Mm. They actually put in a Torin fist, which was great. Doesn't look anything like the logo.
Right.
So there's precedence.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe they, well, whatever. We'll see what they do.
Picture of nine happy clouds.
We'll talk a little more about them later, about maybe their motivations, because I do want to discuss that a tiny bit. All right, what else do we got? Let's talk about the fairly reliable, some say, leaked info that got spoiled and put on a 4chan thread. Basically, it's a next, how many days is it supposed to be? Let's see. Trying to see. Accurately leaked the next some 100 days or something, they say. Hold on. Oh, 6 months in advance. Or months in advance. And they're claiming an 100% accuracy rate on leaked heroes, leaked skins, leaked mounts. Basically, their plan for stuff that we would be playing with and messing with. I don't know how reliable this is. It seems like it might be. I don't know that we talked about this pre-show, what to do back and forth. I don't think we're not going to talk about the specifics. If you want to know what it is, it's all over the internet. It's on Reddit. You can go find it. I don't think it's fair to our listeners just to assume that they don't want to hear this, but just to kind of talk about the overall issue, does this hurt Blizzard or not? Is this a big deal or no to have, you know, the roster for all your upcoming stuff, which, by the way, could change at any time. They may go, you know what, so-and-so character is not really working out, so we're going to work on him longer and we're going to pull, you know, something from the whiteboard and work on that. So that's all entirely possible. But do you guys think this hurts them? Like, Bo, is this bad for Blizzard or who cares?
Yeah, well, it's good to have people wanting to know what's going on that you're keeping secret. But getting a surprise is also good. And so being the guy that ruins the surprise puts the rest of us in a really crappy situation because I had to look. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Did you guys look?
Yeah. I posted. I looked.
Yeah. I'm looking. I don't. If someone else did a dirty deed, that doesn't mean I don't have honor in that way. Yeah. I'm going to look. It's just me being honest. And it's you know, and who knows? The thing is, it's on Reddit. And that's heavily moderated by Blizzard social people, media guys, or, you know, Trixler and Spirion and others are on there. So I know, we know that they know. So hopefully somebody's going to get a hurt real bad and they're taking care of it. But that's their concern. I'm a customer. I'm not, you know, I hope that they do well, but I don't share their concerns. I'm excited to hear about the new stuff. So it is out there. I guess I'm just underscoring that that's the case, that I both feel like super excited and glad to know this information, but also, you know, it probably does suck for somebody, and I'm aware of that.
Well, let's just at least say, John, before I throw it to John, let's at least just make this one bit clear. Gul'dan is on this list, and we already know about him. The only thing I'm going to say about this is the characters themselves that are coming past Gul'dan, not that worked up about it. They're okay. The thing that's got me most excited is maps. And again, I don't want to give specifics, but if that's true there, that sounds awesome. Like, both of those sound real good to me. Okay, so John, your take.
You know, I think people have to police themselves at a certain point. I mean, if we had gotten on this show and just out of nowhere been like, here's the list, and read down it real quick with no warning, that's kind of on us. But I think when somebody says, hey, there's this guy posting on 4chan with a 100% success rate on his predictions, and he put out a bunch more predictions, you know, you're making a choice to go read what those are. I did. And I think it's cool. If you don't want to be spoiled or ruined by that, don't go read that.
Yeah.
Don't go there.
Avoid it.
But I think the only way this is a really, really bad thing is if we looked at that list and there was nothing to get excited about.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's the case. I think there are some really cool things on this list. I think we already know about one with Gul'dan. It's funny, when I originally read this, I was not that excited about it. Then I saw the Warcraft movie, and now I'm super excited about it. So you also don't know what your frame of mind is going to be when these things come out. So
yeah, maps are the
big
thing.
Some of them are funny, too.
Yeah. So
there's a skin coming out that I think
is it the one that starts with a V? Is that the one? No? Different one?
The V?
The one that starts with a V?
Now I need to know. Yeah. Yeah,
I think absolutely. That sounds like a hoot.
Sounds like a very fitting skin for that character.
All right. So all you people listening, don't look it up. We're bad.
And it's not, but we're not just with a V. It's not like Zagara's got a vagina skin, okay? We understand. We're not,
all of them. Yeah, all of them. Have that.
They all have that. All right, let's start with the patch. Today, June 14th, it happened. Medivh is out. He's in. You can play him. You can buy him. You can have him. You can live with him. He's great. His intro is cool. On the home screen, the Easter egg is cool too. You click on the Should I tell people this? It's kind of cool.
No, go find the Easter egg. Also, right. Because I haven't found it yet.
All right, so. Go click stuff and see. It's pretty great. What happens? I think it's better than the last one. So we've got ranked revamp and ranked season one starting. Again, haven't had any time in there. Don't know what that looks like other than what they've told us. Unranked draft mode. I'm happy to report. Looks great. You know how I was saying when they put up screenshots, it looked like they were doing that kind of Avengers thing with all the characters on both sides coming at each other again. And I thought it was static like last time they did that. Nope. It's a bunch of polygon dudes going like moving around in there. So that's cool. What else?
A bunch of dudes from Polygon going No one wants to see that.
Nobody
all
wants
the editors
that.
Of Polygon.
That's exactly right. Uncertainty boost for placement matches. Explain that, Bo.
So basically, once you've played a number of games, the matchmaker has a level of certainty about where you fit. So they're boosting up that variable in their equation to say, maybe we're wrong about you. So we're uncertain now, which means your MMR can fluctuate wildly, which Scott, for example, is someone who's brought up frequently on the show that, oh man, I played so poorly in the early days, but now I'm better. Well, now Blizz Heroes is going to say, well, Scott, we don't know about you. We're going to pretend we're meeting you again. Mm. Honey, let's go on a first date all over again and
right,
get to know each other.
Bygones be bygones. Yeah. The MMR was fairly certain that Scott was a jerk when they first met, wanted nothing to do with them.
Yep.
It was a whole thing. They thought he kicked his dog. He didn't. It's fine. They've now said, all right, look, the whole dog thing, water under the bridge, Scott. Let's get to know each other.
Yeah.
Now, up to Scott to not go back and kick the dog again.
Yeah, second chances is what I'm getting.
Yeah, it could go either way.
Now, if I kick the dog, it's on me. Actually, makes me a little nervous. Like, I want to start out real clean, and what if our first match is a loss? That's gonna bug the hell out of me.
Well, you know, take a shower and get some new clothes.
Yeah.
Dress nice.
I'll see what happens.
Bring flowers.
But the idea that. I mean, because outliers like people on the high and low end of the spectrum, they're going to get squished. I'm happy to be. I guess it makes me happy to be in the kind of the middle of things, because I feel like it's not going to treat me weirdly at the beginning. I'm just going to get a shot to go for it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Normalization. You know, they don't give us details on what that actually is. Like, we don't know what the process is. So for all I know, it's not that big a change at all, and I'm still going to roughly be where I was. I don't know. But
they're
I know
just squishing the relative differences between the high end and low end closer together.
Okay. Yeah, there you have it then.
Yeah.
So that's happening. How about MMR seeding? What the hell's that?
So here's where things get a little tricky. So unfortunately, even though you're taking your love out for a first date and you're saying to each other, hey, you know, we're going to pretend we don't know each other and start over. somewhere in your mind, you know that, you know, you leave the toilet seat up all the time or something like, you know, you can't just 100% clean it up. So when you seed for a new type of queue, basically that means it's going to seed information from other sources. So for Hero League, your seeding will derive from your quick match MMR. Mm-hmm. So that's still a little, that still affects you, even though there's lots of uncertainty. It remembers when you left the toilet seat up in quick match.
All right.
Future seasons, however, will use unranked draft, which is really problematic, I think, in my brain. And maybe it's just the optics of it, but unranked draft is supposed to be unranked. Now it's kind of going to matter. Your Hero League seeding is going to make unranked draft matter, because if your unranked draft is low, you'll start lower in Hero League, presumably, and that's no good. I think it sounds worse than it is, but basically it's kind of weird to tie something competitive into something labeled unranked where it's supposed to be laissez-faire. I like to go into these modes and be okay with losing. So,
sure.
Now, Team League is going to use an average of your Hero League MMR for seeding, which I already felt like maybe was the case.
Mm.
And unranked draft will be seeded from quick match, which is...
That makes sense.
Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, I'm very curious about what our queue times are going to be like tonight in there. Yeah. Like, I'm really curious about that. I guess we'll find out
later. Have we all gotten to try Medivh yet?
I did. Just tried him. I didn't buy him, so I just tried him in practice.
Because I was going to say, I know we've talked about his abilities and all that before, but I was curious if anyone beyond me had gotten to actually play him
a
yet.
A little bit. Did you get a feel for, I don't know, rotation kind of ideas and things like that? Like, I just sort of experimented and went, all right, well, that's cool how that worked. And I liked how that thing, you know, creates stasis around whoever, not stasis, but a shield. And like, there are things I like about it, but I couldn't get a taste for... How am I going to play it when I get him?
I feel like it's confirmed for me that this is going to be a hero I respect and hope people play well and enjoy, but I'm going to get him to level 5 probably and never touch him again. Just because I tried him in try mode, and you can check out our YouTube page. I put a video up there for a first look for Medivh that went up today. And then I got into some AI matches, because that's what you do next. And the first one went just fine. Enjoyed him a lot. And the second one was one of the worst experiences I've ever had in the game, Heroes of the Storm. Whoa, and geez. I felt like all I could do was watch terrible things happen as a bird flying around, hoping that at some point these cats would magically come together and make something happen. I felt very, very helpless.
You're missing the good news in the story, in that you have the power of prophecy, which is what you said last week. I mean, this is great.
Yeah.
Well, you predicted that you would have a terrible time flying around in a raven doing nothing, and lo and behold.
You're a special kind of Heroes player, though, because you went ahead and took the bullet. You paid the $10 entry fee to give it a shot.
No, I did gold.
Oh, you did gold on this one.
Yeah,
all right.
Gold again.
That I can live with. You know,
that like, has value.
Yeah,
that
no, it does. It totally, absolutely does. So yeah. I mean, if I had 15K gold right now, I'd just do it. Like, that wouldn't be. I wouldn't even question it, because eventually I want every character, and if I can get the ones for gold that I can, that's great. So okay, well, that's good. So are you gonna try him tonight when we play, or what are you thinking?
Well, if Bo has him, he can play him.
Oh, do you have him, Bo?
Yeah, I'm the only one
with him.
Yeah,
but I did purchase him today. Yeah.
Okay, so you'll have. All right. Well, I want to see somebody doing it before I cave, and maybe you guys will get me to cave on the show. I don't know. It's happened before.
Oh, good idea.
This isn't new. It's definitely happened. Let's see. They say that significant improvements have been made to the stability of the frame rate in all game modes. I'm anxious to check that out, because even on a way overpowered PC that is not the problem ever with frame rate, there are still some hitchy things in that engine. There have been since day one. So I'm very curious if that stuff's improved. I didn't notice in the practice mode because I wasn't paying attention, but we'll see tonight if we have an improvement there. Tyrael's mana costs reduced. Tyrael's mana costs have been reduced by 10% on basic abilities. Judgment reduced by 20%. So trying to give Tyrael a little boost there. Enjoy that.
Roughly 10.
That's right. Lunara dropped to 7K gold or 849. Now, didn't we get her for free at the time or something? What was the deal with her? Or she was on? She was like $4.
She was 15K at launch, but they dropped her down to 10K 1 week early. Usually it's a 2 week moratorium or whatever you call it for 15K, and then it goes down.
But didn't she come out during a 50% sale and we only had to pay like $5 for her if you paid cash?
Yes. Yeah, you're right. I think that's true.
She's a super cheap hero.
Yeah, I bought her whether I wanted to play her or not because I just seemed dumb not to spend $5 on her. So yeah, if you missed out on that, now's the time to pick her up again. 849, 7K gold. And she's back in the limelight a little bit. People are digging her. OP, would say.
It's Dustin Browder's main. Yeah. As he's referred to. So you should buy it because he likes it.
Yeah.
Why not?
He makes the game. Why not? And then the best patch note goes to a clock that has been added to the home screen. So no longer is it a stupid thing that you do with Chromium on the main and the thing to make it happen. It is just freaking there. I personally will really appreciate having that there. So
it's like she predicted the future.
Whoa. I will say that Chromie has this. Is this a spoiler? She has something to do with Medivh's secret thing you click. That's all I'll say. She has something to do with it. That's all. That's not too much. That's not too much. Because I could just mean the game. She's in the video game. She's got something to do. Yeah. Don't get too worked up, everybody. A couple more notes on this Cloud9 thing. So when this happened, Heroes fans kind of took a collective poo. In their minds, they are one of the names that you thought of as kind of synonymous with the game, despite the fact what John says is true. They have their hands in all sorts of cookie jars, lots of different games. But Cloud9 was a name you always heard. Dunk Train is this dude who you recognize and said, yeah, there's a personality now that we can talk to off camera or off out of the game, and he's interesting and funny. And like there was just a lot kind of going for that image. And the other day, they bailed. They said, we don't want to do this anymore. They say that they can't sustain themselves in this game and the other ones they want to sustain themselves in. And this coming on the tail end of the recent news from that Korean coach, or was it Chinese? I forget.
MVP Black. I believe it's Korea. Oh, no.
But do we want to read? I mean, the tea leaves are there. Do we want to read? How much reading into these tea leaves do we do? I mean, do we think it was like, is this just again running faster than you can walk for a game that's trying to be in esports immediately? And they tried to go from 0 to 100, or you know, is it just simply the game needs a longer time to gestate before this sort of stuff builds up around it? Should it be that Blizzard stays out of the hair of the players and lets them decide what this game's going to ultimately be? Like, I'd love to hear some opinions on this, John. Why don't you start? I know you've got some thoughts.
It's really hard to say. Obviously, I'm not as deep into it as a lot of people potentially are, who are, you know, in the scene, on the teams, things like that. From an outside observer's perspective, it feels like it's a little bit of problems on a lot of different sides, kind of culminating into one big problem. You know, I think some people would say, well, maybe too many people rushed to get a piece of the Heroes esports pie, so to speak, before it was ready to actually go. You know, you have so many teams competing over something that we just didn't know how big it was going to be yet. I think maybe there were also some expectations that weren't necessarily met. You know, maybe they thought Blizzard was going to support more than they ultimately did. Whether or not that means Blizzard should support more, whether they're doing enough, you know, I think that's another topic. I don't think this is the end of the world, because I genuinely believe that with esports, it's going to wax and wane depending on the interest in the game. And the best thing that Blizzard can do is continue to try to put on the best tournaments they can, try and support it to the best of their ability. It will probably mean the scene will shrink, which we've already seen. And keep going, keep trying, and make the game as good as they can make the game. And if the interest and attention comes back, then all these teams that are going away are going to come right back, because they're going to go where the money is, essentially. And I think that's what the case is. Now, one thing that I kept hearing a lot of, just to clarify, and we've had the chat confirm this as well, and I don't know why there was a misunderstanding on this. I actually thought it was pretty clear from their initial report. This was not a case of Cloud9 disbanding. Cloud Nine is in the people. It wasn't like Dunk Train threw up his hands and said, "I'm done with you fools," and then walked out the door. This was a case of Cloud Nine, the organization, saying, "We're not going to represent heroes. We're not going to support a hero's team anymore," which is very different from the typical, this person left this team, this person's going to this team just is going to dissipate and go to other teams. So that's what we're looking at.
In real sports, it would be the comparison is this. Boy, I love doing this. So here you go, everybody. If the let's go back to basketball. If the 1996 Bulls were going to be sold off and the guy, let's say the owner was going bankrupt, or whatever his reasons were, he's pushing the team around whether the team wants to go anywhere or not. That's kind of what this situation is. The opposite, which sometimes I think we as gamers think is going on, is like these guys, the individual teammates are like, "That's it, we're out of here. I don't like these conditions. I'm going to go play something else." That's not what happened. And it's hard, though, to convey that. Like, this is bad for the PR regardless, don't you think? Like, it's just not good. It's got nothing to do with the game or its playability or its fun. It may have something to do with its current state of growth or its size for a organization like Cloud9, but it doesn't mean anything about necessarily the game or what they're making or how hard they're working or how much stuff they have planned for the next 6 months or any of that stuff. But it still can be reflected on it, and that's the bad part.
Yeah, the optics on it are bad. But I was reflecting on this because we've had was it 2 weeks running or at least 1 week running? We had a pretty serious conversation about the health of heroes. And I was concerned at first when I heard this because we had already been having this conversation. But the more I think about it, the reality is that Cloud9's a really big fish in a very small pool where other teams that are big fish, perceived as big fish, like, didn't Team Liquid have a team or was trying to make, like, there are a couple of recognizable names that decided not to partake or came in and then left. It seems like, I think we don't want them. I think we're okay building our own legends. Scott, you kind of said this right at the beginning, that, you know, we need to build our own legends. I want to see the team Please Buff Arthas win because I love their name the best.
Right.
That team is not going to be playing any other esports because it's gonna make no sense anywhere else, so that's a team I can get behind.
I agree with both of you, and just individually just feel like I'm more worried about people's perceptions than I am about the truth on this thing. It just seems like it's not actually that big of a deal. Everybody wants to make it a big deal. Of course, you got loudmouth MOBA players on other games who are like, see, told you they couldn't hack it, but whatever. That's unfortunate. That's the environment. So I don't know how we get around that. Blizzard hasn't really spoken to it at all. Perhaps they never will. Maybe they don't. I mean, as much as they pushed it and bought MLG and gone through all these hoops to sort of shore things up, you'd think maybe this would be something they'd talk about, but maybe not. You know, maybe they don't need to say anything. Maybe just keep making a rad game that we all want to play, and communities tend to do what they're going to do around it. That's what happened with League. That's what happened with Dota. And that's what happens with, you know, Counter-Strike and now Overwatch and everything else is, you know, Hearthstone didn't have a firm plan for esports when it launched. But they but they've got one now, again, based on the momentum of what took off. So,
well, I've got a really bad analogy. Really bad analogy.
No, please, because mine, you could run some interference for me. Go ahead.
Okay, and mine is not sports, so everybody who was just freaking out because we were talking real sports, not going to happen. All right. I'm going to talk about something I know quite well. We're going to talk about food. It is like Thanksgiving dinner, and your family has committed to buying a turkey for Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
Now, you said to your whole family, "Hey guys, we're having a turkey, come on over for Thanksgiving." But a lot of people showed up, maybe more family than you even really wanted to show up. And everybody wanted a piece of that turkey. And turns out they didn't leave happy. There were no leftovers. They went home. They had to have a second Thanksgiving. What have you.
Mm-hmm.
Just because teams are now leaving, in other words, fewer people are showing up to dinner, doesn't mean we're not getting Thanksgiving dinner. It may mean that your favorite Uncle Larry isn't there.
Yeah.
But we're still going to have Thanksgiving. There's still going to be a turkey to be had. It's just going to be fewer people at the table for now. And eventually, if people start to say, you know, they're having a lot of fun over there at that Thanksgiving dinner, we should go there too. Eventually, maybe it will expand and it'll grow in the way that it needs to. But right now, it's growing in the way it needs to. It's just that happens to be fewer people showing up at the moment. Yeah. And another thing to keep in mind is that just because the amount of people showing up is fluctuating doesn't mean the food is bad. It just means that we're not in a position to sustain that many people.
Yeah. Plus, Uncle Larry's a little pervy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a little bit.
Don't trust that guy. I have an equivalent uncle who I could... I'm not going to use his real name, but let's just say he's a lot like Uncle Larry. All right. What else? Oh, you know what we're going to do now? Oh, first, let's talk about this. Heroes of the Storm Summer Championships this week. It's happening in Jönköping, Sweden.
Nice pronunciation. I'm surprised you got it right.
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah. The DreamHack Summer is where it's at. First group stage is June 13th through 15th, so it's already started. And second group stage, 18th through 19th, and semifinals and finals, June 20th. That's on a Monday. That's probably because of the weird European time zones. But yeah, more stuff coming. All of it streamed. So watch for it. Catch it.
You'll get a portrait.
Oh, well, once again, amazing stuff. All right. We're gonna play a little game here. And how do I know that? Because I'm going to click this. Bo has constructed what is to be perhaps the greatest few minutes of our lives with something he's calling Nexus Jeopardy, or as I'd like to call it, Nexeperty.
Nexeperty. Oh, I love it. Trademark that.
Okay. Can we call it Celebrity Jeopardy so the expectations are lower?
But then we have to have a charity where he's sending our winnings or whatever.
Nexeperty. Jeopardy.
All right.
Compound Nexus and Celebrity.
All right.
Celebrity.
Selectsnity.
All right. So you guys know the rules to Jeopardy, or do you have to go over them very briefly?
I think I know them. You have to answer. You give us an answer, basically, and we answer it in the form of a question.
Correct.
All right.
So there's some rules about how this is going to work. Do you have a coin? Have a coin to flip?
Let's see. I do have a bottle
okay.
of water, and the cap for it. Heads could be the top. The open inside could be tails.
Great. So we're going to flip a coin. Okay. And whoever goes first has control of the board.
All right.
There's three categories, and each category has three questions of $100, $200, $300. That person picks the question they're going to ask, and I'll try and make it easy because I know there's no visual aid.
Yeah.
And then when I start saying the answer, whoever buzzes in first, and I don't know how this works on a podcast.
Yeah, how are we going to buzz?
Just go, eh, or make a beep, 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 or whatever, gets to answer. Now, I'm going to stop reading the question, so if you interrupt me, I'll just stop, and you have to answer with whatever I gave you.
All right.
If you answer right, you get the money. If you answer wrong, you lose the money, and it goes to the other guy who can answer, and same rules, or just decide not to answer.
Okay.
And if you guys take too long, both of you, to buzz in, it just times up, and I'll try to channel my inner Tom Merritt and try to be as on time with this as I can. You guys ready to go?
Yes. By the way, Ken. Yeah. Right. Full disclosure, Ken Jennings used to live in Salt Lake City, so this may be a little bit of a cheat for me, but go ahead.
All right, so here's the categories. Got to introduce you to what they are.
All right.
The first one is talent. That's generous.
All right.
And so answers are the talent names for this category. The next one is Nexus Classifieds or Classifeds.
Okay.
And the answers are hero names. All right. Okay. And the last category is Name That Poo. And the answers are ability names. You guys ready to go?
Yeah.
All right. Sure.
Flip a coin.
Okay, here we go. Okay, it's heads.
Heads.
Who do we say was heads?
Wait, we didn't say.
I like that Scott just flipped it. Just like, it's heads. Now what, Bo?
Now what? Since he was going to say heads, and I flipped it to heads, we'll let John go because it's heads. So we're good. Right. It still works. It's just a little bit of time travel there. It's fine.
And one more little thing. There's a final Jeopardy round after this.
Oh, where you bet sweet. Okay.
All right. So go, John. You got control of the board.
The classifieds won for 300.
Beep, 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 beep. You found a daily double. How can you find it that early?
I'm really good at Jeopardy.
All right. Well, I guess there's no daily double. I have to put it somewhere else. All right. So this hero strikes fear into all who wish ill of the Kaldari and is not only the Night Elves' most deadly warrior. Well, it's a daily double. You get the answer, but yes, go ahead.
Oh,
it wasn't. Oh, Buzz. Okay. I'm confused. Answer.
Who is Lunara?
Scott, can you take it?
Can I steal it?
Oh crap! I know it.
Who is Taronda?
Too early.
Taronda is right. Correct. Ding
ding, ding, ding. Okay, sweet.
Got a ding sound?
Oh, I have a, you know what, I have that handy, actually. There, I went. I got that one. Nice. And, oh, and for John. All right, there you go.
All right, Scott, you got control of the board.
Okay. Give me the, I'm also going to do that classifieds thing for 300 or whatever's next.
For 200 at the next lowest. 200, all right. Yeah. An unrelenting hacking echoes off the wall of the cathedral, and as Prince Aiden makes his way through its depths, the sound only grew louder. There were no screams, just that dreadful sound.
Oh, shit. Sean?
Who is the butcher?
Yeah.
Damn it. Ding. All right. Well done.
All right. You're at negative 100, John. You got control of the board.
Classifieds for 100.
While they briefly considered retirement after defeating the Emperor Tomator, there were only so many Yeah.
Who are the Lost Vikings?
Ding.
Oh, my hell.
No money. Woo.
All right. You're at zero, and Scott's at 300. You're winning, Scott. Don't worry. John, you got control of the board.
No, I'm at 200, right? Or am I at 300? 300? Okay.
300, yeah.
Oh, because I got the first one.
Give me the abilities one for 300.
Okay. For 300?
Yeah, for 300.
All right. This ability hits more.
What?
This ability
That's
hits
the tooltip.
More.
This ability hits more.
Neither of us know.
Yep. It's what is transgression? What is transgression? Carl Jim's level 20 ability that makes 7-sided strike hit more. That's the tooltip for it.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
All right. John, you're still in control of the board.
Abilities for 200.
This ability lasts and reaches longer.
Lasts and reaches longer?
Yep.
I can't think of it.
Three.
I like that Bo thought we would get.
Wait, I got it. One. I got it. I got. I mean, buzz in. I'm buzzing in. That doesn't mean I got it right. What is that ghosty bullshit that Skeleton King does?
Leoric. Checking with the judges. Nope. Sorry, that's not the wrong. It's the wrong answer. Man.
Damn it.
Man,
all right, Scott's lose $100.
No, that's 200. For the steal? That's 200.
Yeah, he's at 100 now. You're at zero. He's at 100. Okay. John, do you want to answer or no?
No.
Okay. The answer is
money.
What is Hellstorm? What is Hellstorm? Diablo's level 20 modifier on Lightning Breath.
Oh.
It lasts and reaches longer. Okay. That's what it's described
Isn't
as.
Isn't that a talent? I thought it was abilities.
The talents. Talent. That's generous. That's what it's called. Answers are the talent names.
Yeah, but I said the abilities one.
Oh.
No abilities one.
Oh. What's the third category then?
Name that poo. The answers are ability names, but.
Yeah, that's the one I wanted.
I didn't know that's what you meant. All right. John, control the board.
I guess we'll finish up the talent one that I didn't know we were working on for 100.
Centers for 100. Listen carefully.
Okay.
Gain block and chill enemies that attack you.
Oh. Yeah, me.
Scott?
Level 20 Jaina thing that makes ice block. Oh, what is the level 20 thing that makes Jaina's ice block better?
Ice block? Wrong, incorrect.
Damn it.
Scott, feel?
No.
What is frost armor? What is frost armor?
Damn it.
We're tied, Scott. Right. You did it.
I put this one in here for you, Scott. You love Jaina.
I do love Jaina.
There's only name that poo, John.
The abilities category? Okay, I'll take the abilities category for 300, Bo.
Okay. Right, you guys, all right. Listen carefully now. The answers are ability names.
Okay.
In our contemporary vernacular, this propellant maneuver might be referred to as a shart.
Oh!
What is it called? I can't think of the name of it. I know who it is, and I know what the ability is, but I don't know the name.
Gotta get the ability name.
Well, I'm not guessing then. Scott, you in your test.
I don't know it either.
Bam! The answer is, what is slime? What is slime?
Oh, gosh, dang it. So it's a murky thing. I was thinking, you know what I was thinking of was the,
I thought I was thinking of Stitch's poop.
Yeah, Stitch's big poop.
Yeah. There's two more left, guys. Two
oh,
more left.
One of those might be
Wouldn't
stitches.
Wouldn't that be a chart as well, Bo?
It's 0-0. This is a nail biter.
I told you, Celebrity Jeopardy, man. I'll take the abilities for 200.
All right. Exiting loudly, this feculence spreads into large puddles, making travel conditions difficult.
Me.
Well, jeez.
I'm going to do it.
Scott?
What is Stitch's ability known as? Oh, shit.
I'm checking with the judges.
Where he shits
That's
all
good.
Over the place.
It's, oh, shit. That's alternate.
What? You said the you needed
judges
the
said
ability
it was fine. Scott got 200 on it.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
Scott control of the board.
All right. Rigged.
I'm gonna take it's a poop or whatever whatever the next level is.
It doesn't matter. He already won because of shitty judges.
All right. Hey, don't talk about Tom Merritt that way. I've got him on the phone.
That's He's right. That's right.
All right. For 100. Uh-oh. This fecal matter allows the defecator to run faster while underfoot.
Runs faster while underfoot? I have no idea.
All right. What is a creep or what is a creep tumor? Both were acceptable.
Oh.
Make cigar run faster.
All right.
All right. It's time for Final Jeopardy. Okay. Well, there's no Final Jeopardy, actually, because John failed to score any points. You win, Scott. You guys play Final Jeopardy just for funsies anyway?
Yeah.
It's a good one. But, I don't.
So hold on a second. From the just so for future installments of this, which I really enjoyed this, by the way. I'd like to do this all the time, this sort of thing. Does it have to be the exact name of the talents every time, or can it be
apparently
just...
not, Scott. Apparently not.
I thought
maybe it would need to be, because that's what, I don't know, the guy who came up with the test suggested it might be, but then he completely threw that rule out for seemingly no reason. So apparently not is the answer. Apparently you can just say whatever you want.
I don't make the rules. Alex Trebek makes the rules.
Yeah.
Can I bet money I don't have, Bo? I wouldn't think this is a question I should ask, but apparently I should.
All right, here's the Final Jeopardy question.
All right, go
you
ahead.
Can bet as much as you want.
All right, so you could, this is take it all...
Bet whatever, just write it down on a somewhere, or you know, you don't even need to write it down, just mentally, you know, do that, and you can reveal it later.
All
okay,
right, all right,
because it works so good. All right, Final Jeopardy. The subject is haunted rhymes. That's a hint about what the answer is.
Haunted rhymes. Okay,
all right, here's the clue: the enemy is red, my team is blue, our battle's without end, so your core must do. Do, 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 do,
do, do, do. I would never say that, so I would never know what the question to that answer is.
Hold on.
You said Jeopardy's hard, right? Like, geniuses play
it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a little hard. So wait. Can you repeat? Is it just repeat one time?
Yeah. The enemy is red. Mm-hmm. My team is blue.
Okay.
Our battle's without end, so your core must do.
What is Battlefield of the Eternities?
John, what's your answer?
What is a rhyme I would never say to anybody ever?
That's correct. All right,
so let's start with John. His answer was incorrect.
Oh,
how much
weird.
Wager?
One more than Scott is what I wagered.
All right, well, that's your negative one more than whatever Scott did. Scott, we revealed your answer as the Battlefield of Eternity. How much did you bet?
I wagered $1,000.
You're correct. You win. Battlefield of Eternity.
That's a good question.
That concludes our show.
That's fantastic. I really enjoyed that, and also it really tweaked, which I love, by the way. We tweaked the most primal of competition bones in John. It's way down there, deep down. And next week, revenge will be his. That's my thinking.
Yeah, can I come up with the competition next week? Because, man, are there going to be special rules for Bo?
Dude, yes. You got so many right, man.
You're assigned. You're assigned next week's plan. You're the next one. So that'll be good. I'm very excited about what that all means. All right, let's get to emails and calls. I'm going to whip through these pretty quick. We got one call here. By the way, these come to us at 801-471-0462. That's the voicemail number. or you can email your comments, questions, and or attachments to core@heroesforyou.com. Here's the first one. And this guy thinks maybe this is why. Why what? Well, you have to listen to see.
Hey guys, Mike Romo here. How are you? It's Zero Divide in the game. Just a few thoughts. You guys are talking about how ranked play was getting more and more frustrating, and I wonder if it might have something to do with when the big update came out, I was in ranked play, and then all of a sudden, I was kicked out because I didn't have enough heroes to be that were past level 5 to be able to play ranked play anymore. And I was wondering if that had might have happened to a lot of people and leading to just fewer players being able to play ranked play overall. I'm wondering if that might contribute to the poor play experience. Bye.
What do you think? Possible? Like maybe
I missed was it with the most recent patch for the rank changes?
I don't think today's. No, this was an older.
It was a while back that they did that change.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And you know, I heard this not just from him though, but other people who just felt like, well, then what did I do all that for? And maybe they're saying that again. I don't know. Like, splitting things into seasons gives them a couple of benefits. And doing it now with a very structured season, whether we like the rewards or not, is a whole different issue. But structuring seasons means that there is a beginning and there is an end, you know? And you have that time to do what you gotta do to be where you're gonna be. And that finality, I think, helps the game. Because you always know that if you're lagging way behind and you just don't have the time to do it, well, you know you can wait till next season to give things a shot. And I know this isn't quite the same as resetting MMR or some of these deeper things that can happen with a game like this, but you always want to give players the sense that they didn't do a bunch of stuff for nothing. Do you know what I mean? Like, you never want that feeling of like, well, that was, what did I do all that for? Like, you just resetting the system and making it so all that work was for nothing. Now we have a structure for resetting the system. And that, I think, is smart.
If I was going to guess why ranked mode got a little rough and why we talked about it being rough is because I think a lot of people got into ranked mode for the same reason I did. It was, oh, it's the 11th hour on getting your rank where you want to get your rank for the rewards. And I think a lot of people who either had never done it or hadn't done it in a while or, you know, whatever the reason within it, all of a sudden decided to jump in there. And I think that there was a weird mishmash of people who was maybe caught up on the meta and where things were, and maybe some people that absolutely were not. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, for all I know, I was one of them. But I think that's what contributed to it being kind of rough from the point where they announced seasons onward, which is really all I can speak to because that's when I started doing it.
Yeah, same. Hmm. Bo, you've been you know, right up in it the whole time, though. Perspective on that?
It's hard. This stuff doesn't affect me, and so I try to be as empathetic as possible. But here's my opinion on ranked play. If you're going into ranked play, it's because you're there to compete, so you should have no problems meeting minimum requirements. Mm. That's why, that's just my take on it. I think it does. The barriers are there. Any barrier is there to make certain that as a player, you're invested enough to meet them. And if you're not, probably for the good of the larger base doing that, you know, you should be able to put in the time to do that because others are putting in the time. There's something there, and you could say maybe it's too draconian or it's too loose depending on what side of that conversation you fall on, but there has to be something. So
yeah,
you just have to ask yourself how important it is to you. Do you have a raising a family? Do you like to play other games? Is this not that much of a priority for you? Then maybe it's okay that competitive is not for you.
Yeah, so. And also you now have two modes of non-ranked play that are fun and bring you the, you know, the full experience minus the ranking. You can either get in and play whatever you want, maybe end up with a mirror match and whatever, good fun. And now you have a draft mode that lets you play like a ranked player, but for less stakes. So I think everybody, this patch is, I'm super excited about it. I'm still a little worried about player split or base splitting. We'll see how that goes. But for the most part, I'm really excited about that part. Here's some thoughts on Medivh.
Aloha, John, Scott, and Bo.
I bet that guy's in Hawaii.
I have a question about Medivh. Based on his talents, it seems that he's going to require a lot of coordination, and he may not pan out for single-player queue games like Quick Match or Solo Queue, or even playing with just one other friend. It's going to take a lot of team coordination, or at least that's what it seems, to pull off some of his abilities and talents because he also is more utility and doesn't seem to be putting out a lot of damage. Anyway, just want to know your thoughts.
So, John, it kind of goes with what you were saying earlier a little bit, I think, with your play time with him so far, that second shit show game you played.
Yeah, his abilities have very, very short windows of opportunity. So his portal, you have 6 seconds to use that thing, and you can travel back and forth plenty, but 6 seconds isn't a lot of time when you can't communicate what you want your allies to do with it. So I threw one down in one of the games I was playing to give a guy who was being chased down or was body blocked away out. And apparently that entire 6 seconds is how long it took for him to go, a portal, and then he blew up and died. So it kind of made that spell completely useless for me, because anytime I threw it down, nobody really knew what to do with it. Sometimes they'd use it, most of the time they wouldn't. And when you're removing an entire, you know, ability from a character, that's a significant nerf on their kit.
Yep, for sure. Yeah, I don't know. We're going to play tonight and we're going to see how coordinated we need to be.
Still early. Still too early to say things so definitively that I would give advice on it, because we barely played it.
Yeah, absolutely. And this call came in before today's release, so you know, he's just thinking ahead. But I totally agree. Here's an idea. Check this out.
Hello, Core. This is Holy Moses again. I have another idea for a feature that I'll be happy to pay Blizzard $5 for, and you'll say everybody should get for free.
I feel like this guy's going to rub us out if we don't listen to his suggestion.
I was about to ask him if he could turn me into a vampire.
Well,
I know that there's a lot of films where it seems like a downer thing, but I think it could be cool.
It could be. I'm going to let him finish, but man, it's scary man voice.
All it's right, great. It's great. It is pretty great.
It is pretty great. All right, there's more.
I would really like to see a breakdown of aggregated stats like total hero damage into individual talents. If I picked Giant Killer, how much damage did it contribute? Or if I picked Blood for Blood, how many times did I use it? How much damage did it do? How much healing? How many times did I use my Q ability? How much healing did he do? And so on and so forth. If you can convince Hotslogs to do this, this is good as well. Please make it so.
All right, Armenian scary person.
Could he just read everything I ever need read to me, please?
He's pretty great.
Good Lord.
He's pretty great. Yeah.
I'm envious.
Nothing wrong with that guy's voice. So I don't think it shouldn't be a feature we pay for. This should just be... maybe at some point a way for them to flesh out the stats in the game. I would love that. I'd love to see, you know, did Giant Killer benefit me as much as I think it does when I play Vala? Maybe not. I don't know. Depends on the match, like, I suppose. Or, you know, when was that a bad pick? Like, you'd have a much better way, Bo, of like evaluating your own play, wouldn't you? Because the stats would reflect your choices.
Yeah, I suppose. Again, I don't know. Some people are real data people. I'm more of a feel player. Mm. Data is very important over the long term, but you get a sense of whether things are working in the game. But that's just me. So I like information at the same time. I kind of get bored with Hotslogs, for example, real quick.
Yeah, you want it quick. I mean, they're good at this. They could still say, here are your general stats. But maybe when you hover over the damage stat at the end of a game, a pop-up tool tip pops up that just breaks down the other stuff, or I don't know what the way to do it is. Blizzard's good at that sort of thing. All I'm saying, my argument isn't necessarily for or against more data. My argument is, if they were to give us a feature like this, do not charge us for it. That seems silly.
No.
Which is what his earlier suggestion was, and I think that would be weird. You know, like, that's not a thing people are going to pay for.
I'd like it as a metric. I mean, I get where Bo's coming from with, you know, a lot of times it's just feel like I don't want to dive into every character. But when I'm playing Tracer, it would be really nice to know, am I really getting the return I think I'm getting when I take the, you know, manual reload or active reload talent? Or am I actually getting more for the middle of the road talent? Am I getting more from that because I'm being more effective with that? Yeah. That's data that's hard to really go off of feel, and I would actually like peer numbers for. And so I think making it available is always going to be a good thing. And if you don't like it, don't look at it.
Yeah. That's just, I say that summarized my wedding night. All right, moving on. We got an email here. This is from Sir Konski. My wife would kill me if she heard me say that. Here's what he says. I think so. Gabriel is the name. We had to go to Denver this weekend. I'm so sorry to hear that. I'm just kidding. I love Denver. So on my return trip, I queued up Core for my son and I to listen to live. We love your show. He's 17 years old. You then read my email. It was one of the funniest moments of my life. His eyes grew planet-sized and his jaw hit the floor. As you read, all he kept saying was, "Oh my God, Dad. I have to admit, listening to you read it sounded a little, it sounded a lot angrier than I felt, or so I thought. Funny that there was supposed to be a thank you for introducing me to heroes in there rather than a how dare you abandon us." He goes on to say, okay, now on to my idea for a new pricing model. All heroes are free to play after 30 days. This is based on our conversation last week. Heroes are $5 to play at release, 10 to play at release with purchase of alt skin. After 30 days, alt skin is 10. Refund to all purchases made at gold value, since we will use them to repurchase skins and mounts, or 50% refund. I'm not one to cry over spent money on a previous pricing model. Thanks for all you do, Gabriel. I still think the way you do this is you say, if they were going to change it, and again, none of us have said definitively that this is the perfect idea, but my feeling is if they're ever going to change the model, all heroes are playable immediately. Any that you've already purchased is refunded to you in some kind of gold equivalency. Doesn't have to be exact amounts, but, you know, minus 50%. Like he says, 50% is a pretty decent idea. And then just from the get-go, it's all maps and all heroes playable all the time, and we're paying for cosmetics and boosters and maybe other rewards. Mounts, for example, I think should definitely be a thing you have to pay for. So there's ways to kind of keep monetizing actual objects in the game that way. But hats, skins, blah, 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 all the way down the line. Basically the Dota model with the added benefit that they still get our money for mounts. Any further thinking on that since we last spoke about it? Because that's still kind of where my head is. I really wish they would have something like that.
Yeah, I don't know if my thoughts have really changed. I don't think the heroes that we have is sustainable with a let's give everybody all the heroes. I think it would require some pretty significant changes to what they have unlockable or attainable in the game, or at least the rate at which they put skins and things like that out. But that is the way I would like to see the game go. I feel like right now one of the biggest hurdles that we run into with the game is, do you have the character? What level is the character? You know, I don't care about this character, so I'm not going to spend the money to get them. And therefore, instead of being excited every 3 weeks, now you have 6 weeks before you're potentially excited about another hero. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just think that it's a much better way to go, but I don't think the game we currently have has a method to sustain it.
And not to gloss over the first guy's call too quickly, but it has some bearing on this. Like his biggest complaint, which we didn't address as much as the other stuff he said, is that when all your heroes, or when you got to the big change and then suddenly you found out you didn't own enough heroes to compete in Team League, this happened to, who'd this happen to? Dan, right? Wasn't it Dan in our group that didn't have enough heroes to do Team League? Somebody like that.
Oh, yeah, because he played mostly heroes, healer heroes.
Right.
He didn't have enough people at the right level or heroes unlocked total.
So he didn't have a giant roster. So what you had there was a team of regular guys that were always playing together, enjoy each other's company, and plan to play together. And he got up to the table and it said, nope, sorry, you need to, with this change, you need to own more heroes. Well, for some of us who were way more invested in the game, sure, but he's as invested, just less heroes. It felt really punishing. So having all heroes and maps available just seems like the big equalizer, the great leveling of the playing field. It's what they're doing with Overwatch. It's what Dota does with Dota. Just because League of Legends does what they do does not mean that Blizzard has to. So I still I don't know how you get there after the fact, but in a vacuum, if this game was launching today, that's the model I think I would go with, and I'm kind of convinced that's the model they would go with.
I came up with an idea while this letter was being read. What about a subscription model? Given that there are tons and tons more heroes, so if this is your first day playing and you want to fully invest, it's like, how much is it to buy all 50-some heroes? That's pretty expensive, right?
Yeah, very, yeah.
What about a subscription, like the Stim Pack, which I've always sort of complained about a bit. What if the Stim Pack was you get a Stim Pack, and for the duration of the Stim Pack, you get access to all heroes?
I love that idea.
That's not bad.
And maybe if you pay a bit more or something, you get a token for a free skin or hero purchase at the end of it or with it. You know, like you get to keep one of them. And if you let it elapse, you get to keep the one hero, but no more all heroes for free for you.
So you could play, you could pay 10 a month for that privilege or buy a year like John did for some reducted, you know, total. It's not unlike what WoW does, but I don't think you can go 15 a month. I think that's pushing it.
No, I think you'd have to go the whatever the price of the stim is.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of like negative reaction in the chat, and I'm surprised. I think this is a super good idea because I've always said the stim isn't a great value. And I think, look, I understand that there are people that are getting upset already about this. Man, chat's going fast.
Yeah.
But look, we should all want more people to have all the characters. That should be a goal for everybody to have. Yeah. Because right now, if somebody says, I don't like Kael'thas, well, guess what? You've currently denied yourself the greatest hero in the game. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think giving people another way to get all the heroes is good. I think ways that get Blizzard more money for their game is good. And you know, if it works out to be a better method for you where you're spending less money on heroes, I would think that would make you happy too.
Well, I don't understand how the chat room or anyone else could be unhappy about my solution, which is zero money if you want. It's just you get all the heroes, you get all the maps, and you buy stuff in the store if you want to. Like, that's a model that works for a lot of games, not just Dota. So that to me, I mean, I know in retrospect, like Vess is like, look, I spent close to $800 in this game. She doesn't want to do that. Well, yeah, because you spent all this money and this seems like a rip if it went back. I'm saying if this was a situation where none of this existed yet, and I know that's not what the situation is, but if it didn't and you could start over and this was just the launch plan, tell me you wouldn't rather have a free launch plan than one that meant you had hardly any of the heroes and you had to pay for the ones that weren't on rotation. Of course you wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Of course you wouldn't.
It's like how getting into Hearthstone now. Like if you were to start Hearthstone today, there's like some guy spent $6,000 at one point. There was a PC Gamer article. Like that guy spent $6,000, but there's a guy in there who earned all the cards with no money.
Right.
He just bought them for free. That guy can't be mad at the free to play guy. If
right.
you choose to be, and this is, you know, if you choose to be an investor in this, that's the way this free to play model works. You're supporting the company. It's a donation, even without it being a donation. You're financially supporting something you love. You have to be okay with living that some people are going to get to play your game and not pay a dime. And that you're paying for them to play for free, essentially.
Right.
That's how this works.
I'll tell you, though, like even Geek Jock in the chat says zero money is bad for Blizzard. Exactly. But I'm telling you, this model freaking works. It works for Overwatch, and people are buying boxes, too, and bought the game in the first place. Like, it's ridiculous the amount. I don't know what the actual estimates are, but apparently it's high how many people are buying loot boxes. Like, it's kind of ridiculous and kind of gross. And they're making a bunch of money on those. Even though a lot of people, it's completely optional. And it's only cosmetics. It's got nothing to do with pay to win at all. So that stuff doesn't need a giant percentage of the player base to care about it. It only needs a certain percentage, and boom, you're in. Dota 2 is a moneymaker for Valve, hand over fist. And they don't have anything to pay for in that game except cosmetics, and that's it.
Yeah, so I'm going to say something that'll get me a lot of flack and probably some angry emails, but Scott's got to read them first, so I'm okay with saying it. And that is Geek Jock. He plays with us a lot. I think he's a great guy, but anybody who agrees with him that a model that does not give everybody access to all the heroes is a better way to go, you are wrong. I think giving people access to all the heroes... Now, granted... Again, they have to find a way to sustain that. I'm not trying to make the comment that, nope, they should just give everybody the heroes and let's call it a day. This game, as it is, cannot sustain that model, and I completely agree with that. However, I think giving people access to all the heroes, like what Dota 2 did, like what I think just about any MOBA that comes out after the fact probably will, is the better way to go. And I think it's vastly a better way to go.
Yeah.
So you're not going to convince me I'm wrong. You're welcome to disagree, and I encourage it, but you're not going to convince me I'm wrong.
Well, plus we're not in a vacuum, and we are stuck with the current model, which may or may never change. That's the wrong sentence. Doesn't matter, because the point is the same. it's here. If we're getting out of it, there's got to be a path. I don't know what that path is, and it's a much harder path than if you just could start over and nobody knew any better. And we don't have that option. There's no luxury like that. So,
and we may never get off of it. You know, this could be just the model forever. I think all we're doing right now is just saying, wouldn't it be cool if?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just an idea. We just had an idea, and I'd like to see more people playing the game. That's more priority than it being, well, I got value for my money. You guys better pony up your thousands of dollars like I did to have the privilege to play this game.
Yeah. I like Daniel J. Newman's suggestions pretty good. He says, what about you pay per game, means per match, and and he says the bill goes to the most toxic player in the match. That's like, okay. He says that's like free to play. Yeah, that's not bad. Eventually somebody's, I mean, then the most toxic maybe eventually is just the guy who said, oh, poo, you know, because I don't want to pay for that every match. That would freaking suck.
I think I might get stuck with the bill.
I might get stuck with the bill for making that Nexus Jeopardy challenge.
That wasn't bad.
Oh, you definitely would get the bill for the Nexus Jeopardy. That is for sure.
All right.
I'm a content creator, damn it.
Yeah. Now, don't forget, CoreyHeroesForYou.com is where that email came from. The phone calls came to us at 801-471-0462. It's going to do it for the show. I'm actually kind of excited to see Medivh tonight. So we're going to be doing that next, everybody. Come on into the stream for that, or stay here for that. We'll be right back with watching that. In the meantime, heroesforyou.com is the website. Alpha Geek Radio is simulcasting the show tonight, so big thanks to them. Also, join us in the game, /join Frog Pants. There are plenty in there, all talking, all hanging out, and playing games together. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Bo Schwartz for the Canadian, Scott Johnson for the Salt Lake Cityan, and John_Jagger for the one that lives on the surface of the sun. I think that's it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back next week with a whole new episode. Until then, see ya. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.